Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Jonathan Starkey, your favorite pub landlord of Cheshire Matters.
Those dodgy poles again.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, as I said to Steve last week, I've had millions of people calling up and saying, yes, you are the favorite pub landlord. Who the hell is the Raven?
He's been dreaming this all week, every night.
Can I see your call log, please? Because I don't believe you.
Right, okay. Well, Steve, we know that you're here because we heard you, right? We know that you're here. Gazelle.
Excuse me.
Good evening, Steve. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our podcast.
Okay.
It started already.
To the stats man.
I'm here. Where else would I rather be?
Oh, and listen to that voice.
To all our friends across Cheshire. I'm getting this in because he's cut us all off again. Old habits don't die.
Well, what can I say? It's been wonderful, but I just wanted to turn around and say to our youngest member of the podcast team to say, what a wonderful voice he's got. He is the one that is going to actually attract the ladies, I'm telling you, with that midnight caller voice. Go ahead,
You were on about Steve until you said ladies.
No, not at all. All right. Well, anyway. Okay, gentlemen, everybody okay? Everybody feeling good?
Yes. You've forgotten a little announcement at the start of the show, by the way.
Okay. It is.
It's a good job I'm on the balls.
Someone else coming out? Or?
Oh, yeah. No. He's on the balls. Okay, go on.
Well, you've overlooked a very significant fact.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Week, we are 1 year old as Cheshire Matters.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear pub landlord.
Oh, Raven.
I'm a stats
man. Us.
That's me hands washed. I forgot to bring the party poppers, didn't I?
Oh, don't worry about the party poppers. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Right, okay, let's get on. Let's have this roundup of things that are going on. Right, Donald Trump is launching Truth Social, a new social media network.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about that?
He should have done that about five years ago.
He's behind us. We've already started a year ago.
I know. Well,
excellent.
Also, Stephen Glover of the Daily Mail says, how I pine for a Tory government, a real Tory government.
Keep pining.
Well, these guys are definitely crossing the line. What can we say? Philip Thomas's peerless analysis of the new infection fright. What's happening? Are we actually going to be going down again?
I don't know. Government modelling actually says that the rates are going to go down. The modelling's always right, of course, isn't it?
Well, there's another story that's out there. Thomas Jefferson and the battle for America's soul. Does America have a soul?
Not anymore.
Well, it seems to have sort of lost its place. John Humphreys, my heat pump has left me in the cold.
I'm free.
It's about those new heat pumps that they say are just absolutely impracticality.
Do you wear these for running?
No. They're absolute. This is what they're quite massive.
It's a new form of jogging shoe.
I got it, Steve.
Well, they're not going to actually beat just normal gas boilers just yet. Anyway, Dennis Hutchins' partner reveals raw agony over his sudden death. This was the army guy that committed suicide. And I have to say to you, that was very, very sad. And a startup develops a $92,000 flying vehicle.
Bang, bang.
Flying vehicle. Do you mean an aeroplane?
Dubbed the Jetson One. Oh, now, it's literally, it can be, in America anyway, flown by anybody, because it's not classed as an
aeroplane.
Oh, I
don't see any problems going forward with this.
Well, would you let Joe Biden fly it?
Yeah, but, not really. No. I wouldn't let Joe Biden fly anything. I mean, I don't think anybody wants him to fly Air Force One either. Quite simply, but it's only got 15 minutes of flying time.
Oh. What happens if you go on a 20-minute journey? He's going to drop out of the sky.
Well, it's actually got a parachute. It's got a parachute.
Oh, we're saved then.
It's got a parachute on it, but it's only for one person.
And I saw a parachute advertised today on eBay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Used once, didn't open, slight stain. No, it didn't, honest.
I wonder, does Cheshire West have any of those?
Don't give them any ideas.
No, oh, right, okay. All right, well, we're going to move on to the first subject, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it is about a security warning to MPs over the reform to halal kosher animal slaughter in the rise of... in the event of David Amos's death. Basically, it's all about not upsetting certain elements within society. So the MPs who are campaigning for reform of halal and kosher animal slaughter told to boost their security in the wake of the murder of Sir David Amos. Now, I'm not too happy about that, to be honest with you. I'm going to give way to Statsman on that. Go ahead, Stats.
Thank you very much, sir. The Sunday Times reported that one MP who has publicly campaigned on animal slaughter was visited by police officers.
What for?
They were urged to enhance their security arrangements and told to be careful what you say publicly on this.
Why?
I don't know, but another MP, well, I think we know, another MP said they were aware of police concerns for anyone perceived to threaten the right to religiously slaughtered meat. So this is very worrying, isn't it, in the wake of the murder of Sir David Amos. Rest in peace.
Hang on a minute, again. Are we pandering again to the 2%?
Yes, we are. We're pandering to the minority.
Whoa.
Well, MPs have basically been scared to death now, aren't they, to speak their minds?
What I find disturbing about this is the fact that the police are given advice on what MPs should express publicly and campaign on because of security threats. That's not how this country works.
No, but it's working, though, because we have the likes of DEFRA, I think that's the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, yep. Minister, saying we have to go very sensitively on this. And they're saying it's not government policy, it'll be a backbench amendment, and we'll have to make sure the rights of different religions to eat the meat they want to eat is still available. So what they're basically going to do is slaughter to order. So they're still going to slaughter these in a not so nice way.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's not going to achieve anything, is it? And there's many religious folk that they believe stunning isn't acceptable. So
well,
it's not going to pacify them, is it?
Well, they don't actually adhere to these things in other parts of the world. I mean, as far as they're concerned, they just do what they wish. So, question is, why are we pandering to a minority?
Lost our backbone, haven't we? What's happened to the country?
More importantly, why are we allowing these threats to be carried out and actually the suppressing of Member of Parliament's freedom to express and campaign?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And affect that.
What's a country coming to when you can't even express your views on inhumane slaughter of animals?
Well, that's,
without the threat of death.
Right. It should be humane.
Shocking.
It should be humane.
It's disgusting.
They shouldn't have to actually sort of suffer in any way whatsoever. Not at all.
I'd like to know why the emphasis isn't on whoever's making the threats or who is making the threats.
Exactly.
Well, this is the issue with all this woke minority rubbish that's going on, and it's really coming to the fore. But I don't want to spend too much time on this because I actually want to move to the local issue, and I know that we have somebody. And did you know that we're going to actually get you your own ident for the show? So we come in.
Can you enlighten
explain
us,
what
please?
That means?
It's going to be something like dun, 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 the Raven reports.
Oh, very, very muscular.
What do you think? What do you think?
I think it's very good, apart from Trevor's little bit there. It kind of took the wind out of the sails of the issue.
What about anything else that comes on the end and goes, and the Raven reports?
Don't worry, leave it to John. You'll be in safe hands.
Yeah.
Really?
We love the Raven. Don't we love the Raven, lad?
We love him.
I was in his hands earlier and that was worrying.
Something else I've missed.
Okay, sir. Well, the local is with you. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, residents of Chester and across Cheshire. Okay, Chester and Cheshire residents may at first be pleased to hear the city's MP, Chris Matheson, call for funding for the Chester walls to the tune of £600,000 per year from the Chancellor. Pointing out the current maintenance comes from funds set aside from highways, he suggests average spent over the past 12 years is £600,000 a year. Before we go any further, can I remind listeners in Chester and Cheshire, this is the same MP who supported remaining in the EU. In 2016, we had to choose between protecting our history, culture, heritage, long-standing ancient customs, democracy, and much more, along with our sovereignty, versus him selling this country down the river with his pro-EU federalist dream. Mr. Matheson's attempt to appear concerned for our heritage is a joke. He, Mr. Matheson, is also quoted as saying, "We should not be in a position where we have to choose between the safety of our roads or the preservation of our history and identity of our city." He wanted to sell this country out to the EU. Let's not forget that. What planet is he on? He is a member of a political party riddled with Marxists who want to trash our history and heritage. This is as pretentious as you get. Our MP for Chester refers to the city walls as a much-loved and iconic feature of our city. Well, Mr. Matheson, to those of us who had to politically defend our heritage from people like you, our country is much-loved and iconic. He claims last year highways funding to Quack was down 22%, but the government has since invested billions for highways and Quack getting 11.9 million. The semantics here are one thing, but to hear Chester's MP calling for funding to protect our city's heritage and identity is pathetic coming from him, given his readiness to sell out our entire country's heritage and independence. Having lost the biggest political argument possible, he is now attempting to appear patriotic by making references to heritage, and frankly, the good people of Chester and Cheshire are unlikely to buy into this. The people of Chester know full well what he stands for, and it is not anything resembling patriotism. His party clearly signals that. Heritage, history of the UK, patriotism are not things you assimilate with, Mr. Matheson. Your party and pro-EU stance sees to that. Mr. Matheson, Chester MP, Labour, the ultimate in pretentiousness.
So are you saying that this man is a plastic patriot?
What I'm saying is simply using the issue of the needed maintenance of our city's heritage, in this case the city walls, and as an attempt to now appear as caring for our history and our heritage and our city and everything this country is, when he wanted to sell the country out to the EU. It's pathetic.
And the rest of them.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Go on, Trev.
Well, I agree with more investment. Starting with the widening of those steps that I fell down, sodding Romans. Those steps that the Romans built were about 4 inches wide and 6 inches deep.
So what did the Romans ever do for us? That's
nothing.
What I want to know.
They set traps.
Well, they set a trap for a Labour MP. There's no doubt about that. Well, anyway, I have to say to you, that was quite a speech there. Are you looking to be the next MP for Chester?
Well, we need patriotic people to look after our country, don't we? Let's face it.
And totally not agree. Plastic patriots.
No, I liken Mr. Matheson to the Arthur Daly of the political world.
Here, have you got any steps for sale, sir? I've got a bunch of steps, sir, that we can actually sell you. Huh? We can sell them to Trevor. You didn't want them, Trev?
No, it's not a joke.
All right.
I'm still hurting.
Well, in that case, then, I have to tell you, that was a great monologue.
That was good.
We didn't interfere with you once, 360.
Heartfelt. That was heartfelt.
I thought
that. I'm very passionate about this country,
it annoys me that when
people pretend to be and seek to campaign and promote themselves on the basis of being patriotic and looking after this country, when we know clearly different, it's annoying, it's pathetic, and people see through it.
Oh, well,
How many times have we come across this as a group?
Oh, totally.
When we're dealing with politics, how many times?
There's so much. What we are witnessing is virtue signaling and bandwagoning. Those are the two in words, virtue signaling and bandwagoning. And I have absolutely no doubt, sir, that we're going to hear some more virtue signaling from you about things that are going on in your neck of the woods. So I'm going to pass it over to you, sir. Go ahead. The Gazelle reports.
Well, tonight.
Go ahead, sir.
That grass was lovely. I chewed it, didn't smoke it. Tonight, I'm going to talk about my favourite subject.
Charlotte!
Charlotte Nichols. No relation. No relation.
Not married.
No relation.
No relation at all. She's not even your distant cousin.
Nope.
You're okay. Have you got any about that, Trevor?
I've checked the tree and she is the sap.
Go ahead, sir.
I haven't actually. Just more tweets from my Warrington North MP. Sorry about that, maybe. On October the 18th, Charlotte tweeted, "Stayed in all day waiting for a bed to be delivered. And apparently they couldn't park up outside. So now it's not being delivered after all. Big Monday vibe. ? Whatever that means."
It was that important, was it? That, you know, about the bed, all right. Wasn't that at about the time that there was lots of other news going on?
Just going to explain.
All right,
now.
I will butt out soon.
And that was followed by a little gif of a man looking very stunned, I should say. Now, I'll just clarify. This was a day when I thought all MPs were recalled to Parliament. On TV, I got the impression all Parliament had been recalled as MPs paid tribute to Sir David Ames. That was the Monday, the 18th of October. I must have got that wrong. In a reply to her tweet was another gentleman, I can't have had his name, obviously. "I mean, at least it puts an end to the argument that MPs get special treatment. Hope you have somewhere to sleep tonight," followed by a smiley emoji. Her reply, I do. But if it doesn't arrive soon, my mam won't have anywhere to sleep when she moves in. Ha, 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 with a laughing emoji. Underneath, that was a comment. Another gentleman saying, "Hi, Charlotte. Still waiting for a reply to my email. Was sent about a month ago. Thanks." Then I replied to her, "So everybody was given a tribute to Sir David Ames in Parliament, and you sat in waiting for a bed to be delivered. You really do disturb me, Charlotte." And I still have got no reply to that tweet.
Actually, I just have to say that she disturbs a lot of people, to be honest with you.
I'm fuming, actually. I mean, she has form for this type of insensitivity. It was highlighted in the Daily Express on April the 17th this year. Headline, "Disgust as Labour front bench MP boasts Prince Philip funeral, a chance to go shopping to get a few non-essentials." I have 1,000 things to comment on about her, sorry, but I'll stick to this just for now. We have, as I have mentioned lots of times, our Warrington Council debt, which is now standing at £1.7 billion. I checked that today.
I thought it was 1.8. Is it 1.7?
No, it was 1.6. It's now 1.7, but it's heading to 2.8 in 2024. And it is at the minute 1.7 billion. My belief of the pecking order would be 2x MPs followed by the council. That's how I would look at it. I.e., I would expect my 2 MPs to question the problems within our town, like the debt. I have noted that Andy Carter, the Conservative Warrington South MP, has done this on many occasions via local media.
Yeah, he's not bad, is he?
He's not bad. I mean, I'm not a Conservative. I'm just doing this as a pure observation. Not yet once have I ever seen Charlotte comment on this subject. If anybody's seen any criticism, please let me know via our website at cheshiremattors.co.uk.
I love you, Trevor.
Thank you. So let me just give a couple of pointers to the facts. These are the facts as we know them. The leader of the council, Russ Bowden, ran her campaign to be elected in Warrington North. The deputy leader of the council, Kathy Mitchell, put forward her home address as Charlotte's residence for the purpose of the said election. I will leave that there for you to consider. I personally find all this distasteful. I understand they are all members of the Labour Party, of course, but her duty is to the constituents of Warrington North. That is why they elected her to Parliament on a very thin majority, although it was a very thin majority, sorry. In fact, it was the lowest ever recorded in Warrington North.
Yeah, I get it.
I personally believe she will only be here for the one term.
Hopefully.
This is just a stepping stone in her career, given what was supposed to be one of the safest seats in Parliament for her to be parachuted into. Who made that decision? I personally believe she will move on back to her Islington constituency, which is now held by Jeremy Corbyn, who will retire for her to step into his shoes. There's a big statement for Watch This Space. You heard it here first on Cheshire Matters. No other media has commented on this that I am aware of.
Sir, would you give way to the 360 first?
I most certainly will.
And then allow Stats to come in and comment on that.
I most certainly will. I'm wide open to comments on this because I'm absolutely fuming. I'm sick to death of her disrespect.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm just fuming about it.
Yeah, go ahead, 360.
Carry on.
Gentlemen, I just want to simply say...
Say something else. I'm not going to call you 360 anymore because I think you put on weight since I've seen you. It must be your participation in the green room. So I'm going to call you 420.
That isn't 420. I will not even go in there.
Call him circumference. Because all the Labour parties, they're all sirs now.
I'm being fat shamed here. This is appalling.
No.
What are you going to do? You're going to take legal action? Go ahead.
I'm just going to tell my mum.
Don't tell your mother.
Now we're in trouble. I told you, leave it.
All right, I'll go back. 360. Okay, 360.
Gentlemen, I just want to echo some of the comments that Trevor has made, which is, first of all, I think the conduct of MPs on occasions leaves a little bit to be desired, to say the least. And I think, given what Trevor has pointed out here with the Warrington MP, Charlotte Nicholls, I think he's got some very good points and valid points. There obviously is the issue of, you know, whether the council's debt is being taken to task by the MP. Obviously, Andy Carter is doing his best over there to sort of raise this on behalf of the residents of the area. I want to say something very sincere, actually. And we mentioned Sir David Amess last week and his awful passing, the way it happened. I just want to say, for MPs to be conducting themselves in such a manner at such a time by prioritising on social media the delivery of home furniture, quite frankly, is at least insensitive and at worst appalling.
Yeah. Here. How's it going down there? Order! Stats, go ahead.
Have you finished, Stephen?
Yeah.
I have, thank you, Mark.
He's going to give way to you anyway, because I've just said he's going to give way.
Just checking.
Just muted him.
Now, I've noticed... I've noticed some inconsistencies with your MP, Trev. She's all for the stopping of smuggling of puppies, but not so hot on stopping the cruel slaughter of animals for religious purposes.
Yes,
it's interesting. It's interesting, her Twitter.
Yeah, I'll go with that. So I think that's a brilliant observation that you've made there about what's going on in Warrington, especially on the Labour side, because there are so many problems going on with that administration that there is something going to come up, something's going to break. Go ahead, Stats.
Just a quick one. I wonder if she'll mention our national story this week.
Oh, yeah.
The threatening of MPs. Well, that sounds like the threatening. I wonder if she'll be standing up for that.
She's on every single minority group.
Yeah, I get
it. She is a professional victim.
Yes. Well, we'll see with this one, won't we?
Because that's what it's all about.
Just meet. So we'll see, won't we?
I'm sorry, Stats. What did you say?
Well, we'll see with this one what side she's on.
Okay.
I'm on the side of free speech and MPs.
Should I actually send this particular episode out to her and mark out the particular points that she's being mentioned on?
If you wish.
I put it on social media. I've been on Facebook with her, been on Twitter with her, and I've invited her to come to our platform.
That's right. Okay.
To discuss it, but she's not.
In that case, then we'll make it absolutely known about these particular things. Right. Well, in that case, then I'm going to move on, and we are on to the woke is washed or washed.
Washed. Wish wash.
Wishy washy. You're right there, sir.
It's not.
No.
Steve, can you take over?
Woke is washed up.
I think and he this, is tonight, according this, to the bacon consumption. And
this is with stats. Go ahead, stats.
Woke's washed up, or is it? Or is this just more talk and no action? Well, this is from The Guardian, so it must be true. English schools... isn't it? English schools should not teach contested theories and opinions such as white privilege as fact, the government has said prior to the publication of new guidance outlining how teaching certain political issues could break the law. Could. They're just begging them again, aren't they? Schools should avoid promoting partisan political views and must instead teach racial and social justice topics. See, I don't like that bit already. No, they shouldn't teach them, but in a balanced and factual manner. They're all nonsense. According to the government's response to a report on the educational disadvantages faced by white working class pupils, which we've mentioned quite a few times, haven't we? This is, to me, this is just more hot air. But it's a step in the right direction. But I'd actually like to see them go and enforce the law with this. Otherwise, it's just more begging, isn't it? You know, and you know, you beg these people who are teaching this stuff. They're the ones who want to teach it. You beg them to stop. They don't.
I agree. Would you give way there to 360,
sure, over to you,
who could be 420, but, you know, he doesn't want to go around the world twice. Go ahead.
To the Raven.
The Raven. The Raven. Go ahead, the Raven.
All yours, darling.
He does this too well. What I would like to see is a standardised curriculum which avoids political, social and any form of interference of education delivery by people seeking to pursue and deliver their own political agendas in the education system. Our children should be left as children. They should not be subjected to influence of people's personal political agendas. It's as simple as that. We need to have a standardised curriculum across the country.
Well, the thing is, the truth of the matter is that the kids should be left to make up their own minds. They shouldn't be directed by any particular source. It should be that they sit down and have the ability to express their own thoughts about it, not be channeled.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
See, the only thing that makes me think this is all hot air again is that the Department of Education is working with schools to develop new guidance. I mean, if the Department of Education are not great. I've dealt with them in the past, and I'd like to see this new guidance when they've developed it. But a bit like in America, maybe they should just be told no, and if you do, you break the law and you get fined massive amounts of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
That normally works, doesn't it?
But you need to be more assertive of this. It's getting worse, isn't it?
It's getting worse. Well, there is going to be a backlash. As I've said, my own mantra is do not suppress any of our hard-fought for freedoms.
Indeed. I support that, correct.
And if it stands the test of debate, then it stands. If it doesn't, move on and then just don't try to stymie any form of free speech. Go ahead, Stats.
I would read the rest of this report by The Guardian, but it's just a load of left-wing drivel crying about the fact that we've pointed out they're up to no good.
And yet, sometimes...
So I'm not going to read the rest of it, because it's all...
Well, sometimes The Guardian does come out with some good points.
It did in the first couple of paragraphs, and then the try and...
It went into the left-wing stuff.
Their opinion.
Is Owen Jones a writer for The Guardian, is he?
He is.
Oh, right. Well, that says that then, doesn't it?
Although he does counter certain people, because I can remember in the past that he has spats with people like one of the ex-MPs, Michael Duggar, and he made some very, very valid points against Michael Duggar. Go ahead.
One thing that does make me laugh is they go on about the data, you know, for the report we mentioned being cherry-picked, and then they go on and tell you that data, what was cherry-picked, but they don't show any other data that wasn't cherry-picked to back up their argument. Yeah, so they end up agreeing with it, and then they get the usual suspects, like the Runnymede Trust, they've wanted to cry about it. So I won't read the rest.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I wouldn't bore you.
Right, well, unless anybody's got any further comments to make on that that particular point that I'll give way to.
I remember Davy Dyke saying once, I went to see the chap. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, of course.
Of course.
And he was saying, if they could... which I presume are governments of the world, if they could, they would program that child from the womb. As it is, they only get hold of them at the age of 4 or 5 at the minute.
Yeah.
and continually program them. You have to go to work at 9, you come home at 5. They program them. And he pointed out that they would, if they could, program them from the womb.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this rolling out day in and day out with these vaccinations, etc.
I'll go with that. Go ahead. Stats.
Conspiracy theories, are they, like, as has been proved the last couple of years, now called spoiler alerts?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. That's true. Yeah, that could be
very, very true.
Great point.
Well, I'm going to wrap that up, and I'm going to go to the public figure of the week, which I know is going to be so, so in line with 360. And it is the Queen. And I've got this one. No, you're not going to say anything. You're not going to comment.
Oh, let him out a little.
The Queen, she's my public figure of the week. And they're saying the real reasons why the Queen doesn't want to stop working, because there's been a few little conspiracy theories, if that's what you want to call it.
You can't live on that pension.
You know, well, she can. She's doing all right.
£177 a week? I don't think so.
I think she's all right. When was it? It was Prince Philip. Right. He was 96 when he decided to hang up his royal boots. And at a reception shortly after the announcement, someone told him they were very sorry he was stepping down. And he said, "Stepping down?" He said, "I can hardly stand up." I said, "No, I'm sorry." A great retort. Okay, a great. Well, let's just say, I mean, I know he's gone now, but I mean, you know, I thought he was an okay guy. I mean, he just said it as it is.
I thought he was great.
You know, I thought he was funny, to be honest with you. And I think that the Queen is really, really good at her job, especially for her age. Now,
Most people are well retired by now.
So, I mean, she's 95 years old. I know that's a lot of responsibility at that age.
Yes, I'm glad you've nominated the Queen.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
This week as Person of the Week.
Before you go off on one.
I'm actually quite passionate about this. Next year is a very big year for the Queen and the country. It's a Platinum Jubilee next year. And I think she's done tremendous for this country. She's held this country together through lots of difficult times. And she's been an example of service in this country for many, many, many decades.
Do you know that she's into Zoom and Skype as well?
Well, we could probably take some tips from the Queen, actually.
We could get her onto the next podcast.
That's what we could actually call up the royal
mom
correspondent and just say to her, would she like to come on to Cheshire Mantis podcast?
She doesn't want to throw 70 years of excellent reputation out the window in one go.
She'd love it. It'd cheer her up a bit, wouldn't it?
It would actually do her a lot of good to come on with a group of people in a digital pub. Sitting having down and that, having a digital pint.
Having said that, we are all big fans.
Yeah, people like her.
She can have a digital gin.
She could have a digital gin, that's right.
Of course you can.
You know, without a shadow of a doubt.
And of course, it would have to be held in the revamped lounge.
I know that you sponsored.
The Regal Room. The Regal Room.
That you sponsored. I sponsored it
for that reason.
Basically, she's our public figure, my public figure of the week.
Our public figure of the week.
And, you're saying that now, but it was me that actually came up with it in the first place. You're just jumping
no,
up.
It wasn't.
You're bandwagoning. You're bandwagoning.
Oh, just another one.
I put this up first. I'm not having this. You're not claiming this.
Did he?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did he put this up first? I don't believe it. Anyway, we're going to move on. We're going to say, what is that time of the evening? You know it. Ding, all right, okay. Dong. Well, if you want to get up to the bar.
Get your money out.
Come on. Get your digital crypto coin.
I haven't got digital cryptocurrency stuff going on. I've got 50 pences.
That are worth a pound.
Worth a pound.
I've tried explaining this many, many times. It's not sinking in.
Well, okay. Let's go with the shout-outs and the shout-downs. Let's have it. Who's going to go first? I'm looking at Stats. Go ahead, Stats.
I'll go first. This is a massive shout-down to all the tyrants across the world, including Sajid Javid, who are either planning to or are already sacking health workers, police officers and soldiers. It's a disgrace. They're tyrants, and this is all going to backfire.
Yes.
Massive.
Boo. Big boo.
You think we've had a problem? Do you know what? What a difference a couple of years make.
They were all clapping them a couple of years ago. Now they're sacking them.
Now they're sacking
Clap the NHS.
And then sack half of them. Yeah, great. Yeah, nice one.
What are you? Have you got the clap, Steve?
No.
Hope not, because there's going to be a shortage on nurses soon.
I'm standing next to him. I got to move away. Looks like he's got a rash on his arm.
Yeah, but you rubbed his leg earlier on.
I know.
Oh, dear.
You'll have to sing happy birthday again. What's going on?
Go ahead, Gazelle. Shout out or shout down?
Well, you know my shout down, obviously. My MP. I personally think she's a disgrace and roll on the next election.
Oh, yeah. 2023. Yeah. It's going
to
happen.
Trevor agreed.
I might write to Boris tomorrow and ask him to bring it to 2021 in a little bit.
And a little bit.
And a little bit. Well, a big bit, because we're near the end now, aren't we?
Have you got a big bit?
I'm not going into that, Jonathan.
And now for 360.
Hello, the Raven. Go ahead. Give us a shout out or shout out. I'm your biggest fan.
With the Raven.
My name is Johnny, and I'm your biggest fan. Go ahead.
Can you just stick with the Raven and do it in a proper manly type voice?
Okay, go ahead.
My shout out, my acknowledgement is to Her Majesty the Queen for battling through and still doing as much as she can at her wonderful age.
Stop Agreed. Copying. Stop copying. Okay.
No, well, I'm going to say my nomination this week. I pinched it.
Yes.
No, I didn't. No, I was given it.
Mark.
That's stand a dog in. With a hair lip.
Mark, stand in and intervene.
Next year, in April, she'd be able to cut down an extra few hours because she'd be getting a 4% pay rise in the pension.
Oh.
So she'd be able to knock a few more hours off.
Yeah. Here's a thought. Do we get any holidays for this next year?
Oh, yes. It's
are we going to give it a go?
We're having a four-day bank holiday.
I tell you what. Next year. So all the lefties who hate the monarchy and the Queen and all that, do you reckon they're going to say, that's all right, we'll carry on working for them 4 days? Or they
no,
have off?
They'll just take the 4 days.
Of course they will, because they're hypocrites. You know?
Well, my shout down goes to a man called Fergal Sharkey.
Oh, right.
Do you remember him?
Yes. Why is this?
Yeah.
Well, because he's bandwagoning. He's on this trip having a go at all the utility companies, the water utility companies that are pumping sewage into the waters of the UK. Now, this is the guy who, when, and I witnessed this, I was attending a meeting with somebody and they were complaining to him while he was the head of what is British Music Rights. Today, it's called UK Music. Now, this guy actually turned around and listened to everything that this guy had to say. And what this guy was doing was complaining to him as a representative of the British music industry, British Music Rights, to say about the dominant market abuses taking place by the majors.
Right.
And this guy turned around and said, sorry, there's nothing I can do.
So it's very apt then, isn't it? A good heart is very hard to find. A good heart.
See what he did there,
very
Steve.
Good. That's good. But this is, that's true. And this guy basically said, well, there's nothing that I can do. And I noticed it. Now, this guy that was actually in to see him wrote a lot of very, very great music for a famous program. And he was being squeezed out by the majors for certain things that were being done. And this guy said, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, guess who was paying for British music rights?
I wonder,
right? So as it is, they weren't representing. So I've actually put out a tweet today to say, who's going to believe this guy bandwagoning, saying that he's actually trying to protect British waters?
Because he reminds me of a Chester MP.
Great similarities there. Great similarities. So, you know, Fergal, if you're there and if you're listening, I don't give a crap about you, kid. And I don't give a crap about what you're saying. So there you go. And I hope that lots of other people see through your bandwagoning. So that's my shout out against Fergal Sharkey. So we're actually going to move on. And Steve, do you want some music for the end quotes?
Yes.
Okay.
What about a little bit of classical music?
No, you're not going to get classical music. It's going to be the usual theme tune that I wrote for the show. All right.
I thought,
I'm going to give you the bells again.
The bells.
They misunderstood me.
Okay, who's going to give the usual quotes now? Who's going to go first? Go ahead, Stats.
I'll go first. And this is my quote. Never, under any circumstances, take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. Trust me.
Great one. Go ahead, Gazelle.
I got my daughter a fridge for her birthday. I can't wait to see her face light up when she opens it.
Okay, go ahead. Captain Pugwash, Captain 360, Captain, well, the Viking.
The Viking, go ahead.
I'll just wait for him to finish. We'll be here till Friday, but there you go. Right, okay, this is a quote.
We love you. We love you.
We do love you.
It's too much. This needs to stop. I am a proper man. I don't do this kind of thing.
What, you mean you haven't got a cervix?
Right.
only proper men have cervixes, you know. Go ahead.
Right, should we go? Should we go? Are we good to go? Right, okay. Every man is guilty of all the good he did not do. Voltaire.
Ah, okay. Well, as usual, I'm going to turn around and say, thank God that's all over, right? Because, you know, I, quite honestly, I'm absolutely fed up of all this macho stuff. We need some more diversity on the show.
Tell me, sir. Well, you can be whoever you want to be. I'm happy being what I call a proper man. By the way, separate point, just want to mention this, actually, while we're on the subject of proper man. Why is there so much feminizing of men's clothing at the moment? Oh, I like proper man stuff.
Well, I'm identifying as a brick wall, and right now you're speaking to it.
What do
There's
you mean, like?
There's nothing new there.
Moisturizer and things like that.
Hey?
Proper man products like moisturizer.
Well, I do moisturize. I use, what's it called? Eau de Vuille.
I use
oil of Eule.
Very, very manly, that, for a Viking.
Yeah, they all had that nose days, didn't they?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oil of Eule. Hey, have you got any oil of Eule before we go kill those Brits?
I just got some off my boat.
I don't want to go in not looking good.
That threw me off completely then. I couldn't think of it.
You've got a moisturiser. Look after yourself. I don't look this good, you know, for this long.